After all this, you still...
I still want that gas, yes. And you had better deliver.
He embodies, like, oh my God, they have the audacity. He is the audacity. Like,
yeah.
he is what you think about when it's like, don't have imposter syndrome. Go after everything you want to do. Be your most authentic self. Reinvent yourself as many times as you want. Like, he is that, like, the new year, new me. That is George Santos, but, like, every 3 months. And he gets to be that because he gives him that chance to be that.
He has imposter syndrome. He has a syndrome of being the imposter.
He is the imposter. There is no, someone who does not belong here. It's you, easy, George Santos.
Easiest games of Among Us ever.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, I really hope, I think he's the type of person, like, you know, those type of people, like, even if you say something bad about them, they'll still retweet it. I feel like he's those type of the type of person who's going to listen to this episode because we're talking about him and he gets off on that. And if he does, I want you to know, continue to be the messiest bitch you can, because every time you have the balls to do something so ridiculous, I realize that I should be a little bit more crazy. Because if I could be a fraction of your crazy, I truly could get away with anything. I feel like we should all have a little bit more audacity.
Not this much.
Not this much. But even if you have just a little bit more. A little bit more than, just take a little bit from George Santos.
Oh, Lord.
He has too much. You deserve it.
Well, speaking of the audacity, in October 2023, after the October 7th, I don't want to use the official titles for what's going on right now. Just in response
to... After genocide.
I'm not going to come up with a name for it. It's just what's going on right now. What's going on right now in response to it? Santos said, quote, "I think every inch of the United States at this point should be mapped out again and completely checked. I don't care if we go into a police state for a couple of months."
It was like, why are we checking for Hamas here? Why do we need to check here? What are you going to find here? First of all, you don't want people to be up in your house finding stuff because they're going to find a lot.
There was a weird push with this, even with some of the presidential candidates too, where they were really insistent that you had Tim Scott had said something about like there being like thousands of like United States. And I think it was really just kind of trying to like recapture that 9/11 magic. And I think it's pretty much failed miserably.
No, not the Cold War scare. Like, there's sleeper agents just everywhere. And then they're going to say Alec Akbar, and then everybody's going to come out and start killing poor little white kids. It's like, no. Nobody cares about you. Tim Scott, I have words for him. Anyway.
Say what you want about George Santos. At least he has the courage to stay out the closet.
At least he's out. At least he didn't parade a white woman around for 3 seconds because they told you it's not convincing us. Because the donors was like, it's not giving straight. And it's giving, we're not giving money to you. And then you brought that white woman and they were like,
and he dropped the next day.
Just drop out. You should just drop out.
No. He said he was dropping out to fight anti-Semitism on college campuses.
And my girlfriend's got to go back to Canada in order for me to carry out.
Sorry, her temporary visa has expired since I'm no longer
I don't want to derail the episode to talk about this, but like it's getting frustrating for me, right? Where it's like we're talking about anti-Semitism in the context of trying to malign any show of solidarity with Palestine or any attempt to de-escalate and maybe like draw down hostilities, right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like when we talk about like real anti-Semitism, it's been on the rise as a project of like the American right, at the very least since Trump came on the scene, right? So I don't know what's going on with this weaponization of like stopping anti-Semitism and equating it with the Zionist project.
Well, because and, I mean, the other thing too, I mean, like very recently you've had like speaking of the anti-Semitism on college campuses, at least Stefanik again had that big thing where was it Penn State? They fired their president because of it, and there's been pressure to go after the Harvard president because of her, you know, brutal interrogation in a committee hearing of them. And like literally she voted to keep to not expel Santos, to keep him in the chamber, despite the fact that, I mean, I don't know how much more anti-Semitic it gets than like appropriating their culture entirely literally. For his own benefit.
Right.
Not caring like, about them in any other way.
Just using like your whole like religion as a like, yeah, I am. No, but like I'm not actually Jewish. I'm Catholic. But like my family's Jewish. Well, like not my immediate family, but like my far, far, far back ancestors. But like not the ones that you can find any information on. You just gotta trust me.
And frankly, it's just as likely that they might have participated on the other side of the Holocaust as the.
Right.
Well, that's the thing because like, he alleges that they were from Ukraine
to South America. Like, oh, you just conveniently moved from Belgium to Brazil, just conveniently,
right?
Just for fun kicks, love. Who knows?
it's just stunning to me that like. While in Europe, far-right parties are basically talking about sending Jews to Israel as a matter of policy. Like, yeah, Israel can exist. Send all of them there. We don't want to look at them. And equating like,
that's insane.
And that's
not okay.
And basically like, equating like Jewish identity with Israeli citizenship is just I'm not in a place where I can comment on this perfidiously or properly, right? It's not my place to, but something about it is really sitting ill with me, especially when, not to bring up Steve Scalise again, that guy was connected to the Klan in Louisiana for a bit.
Oh, like
didn't he call himself David Duke with like
without the baggage? Yeah,
yeah, David Duke without the baggage.
That's been his claim to fame. And it was funny.
How are you David Duke without the baggage? What is David Duke without the baggage?
It was really amusing, too, where I almost feel like his brief run for the speakership was almost like an op. Just so, like, the most far-right members of Congress who voted against him were like, well, he's compared himself to David Duke. So, like, look how, you know, not racist I am by not voting for this guy, even though their reasons for opposing him were completely unrelated to that.
It's oh my god. The whole background of this, and this is why like it's been difficult to do the show lately, is just like forget the discourse, the actual political situation is so complex and insipidly like rancid as of late, right? That like
mm-hmm.
It's hard to look at it. It's hard to speak on it. It's hard to think that what you have to say about it will even be useful in some extent, right? But at the same time, like, I think good people are able to observe that, like, something very bad is going on with the way it's being spun to us, the way it's being shown to us. And I know that like there's a variety of opinion on what needs to be done or what is to be done. And maybe the silver lining is like, you know, Palestinian solidarity is a more of a mainstream position than we ever thought it would be in our lifetimes, right? But, you know, the way that like the political right globally has been able to like cry foul and somewhat rewrite history to very absurd ends is happening actively right now. And I don't think it's being discussed or examined at the level it needs to be.
Yeah, no, I agree. It definitely isn't. And I mean, there's kind of, I mean, like, frankly, you know, Netanyahu represents, you know, the far right in, you know, both an international context, but of course in Israel, right?
Right, like,
right. You know, we don't necessarily, you know, as much as, you know, we've focused on, like, you know, Russian election interference, Israel also participated in that quite a bit, and they got their desired outcome.
They're actively interfering in you know, no one's going to say it, and I don't think it's necessarily conspiratorial to say this. They are actively sabotaging Joe Biden's reelection prospects right now.
I think so, yeah.
I think, like, you know, with they got so much under Trump that it doesn't take a lot to notice, yeah.
And when you think about it, they didn't even really get that much materially, just from, like, essentially, like, their side of, like, the culture war.
Right, right.
They've gotten, with Trump, they got closer to be able to do what they're doing now. Yeah. Like, Trump enabled that. Joe Biden obviously enabled that. Fucking Obama enabled that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all of them are complicit to this. Like, and they want to pretend like they're just there. Like, Joe Biden can say that he's just trying to give Jewish people a safe place because that's the only place in the world that's going to be safe for Jewish people. What the fuck do you mean? You are the president of the United States. Jewish people are supposed to feel safe fucking here, you fucking douchebag. I don't understand. Like, I truly don't understand. These people are fucking insane. It's just, well, like, think about that. Like, so you're saying that you don't want an American to feel safe in America. We know that you already say that about people of color, Black people, Indigenous people, immigrants, queer people, like disabled people, poor people, but you're saying that to Jewish people also? Okay.
That's insane. Yeah, I mean, obviously I don't think that's quite the intention there, but it is kind of wild when it's like, you know, this is supposedly the safe space, yet, like, the constant argument is that we have to, like, genocide people in order to, you know, make this place safe, right? We're under constant threat and siege, and are under siege by our enemies. How is that a safe space for anyone?
How are you indigenous to a land that you weren't born into, like, yeah, anytime soon? You can't put any person in the last 200 years there. You decide that this is a land that you love, but you're gonna bomb them. You're gonna destroy the actual land. There's people who, there's real estate developers that are showing what, like, the world can be after they finish clearing the history and people's homes and lives and bodies. No. And we're just supposed to sit there and be like, this is okay. This is totes normal. It's not.
So I'm with it, but I'm trying to figure out how to start summing all this up, because we are no closer to the end than we were when we started.
Yeah, he literally has one of the longest Wikipedia pages.
It's longer than Mike Johnson's, who was just elected speaker.
Oh, God.
And, like, the sources, like, he has 339 sources on Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's...
like... Oh, what a icon.
So maybe just, like, as the ancestry discussion goes... he alleges that his maternal grandparents were Jewish Holocaust refugees who fled Soviet Ukraine and German-occupied Belgium, although these claims were false, and they were in fact born in Brazil. Bearing in mind, this is part of, like, an investigation that's been opened on him by the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. What employment. Santos has used various aliases, including Anthony Zabrowski and Anthony DeVolder. A 2011 Wikipedia user page created under the latter name claims the account holder acted in Hannah Montana and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. After returning from Brazil, he told friends that he had worked as a journalist for the Brazilian media conglomerate Globo. Oh my god. And also told a roommate in 2013 that he was a model who worked at New York Fashion Week and would be appearing in Vogue. My god.
Yes, queen. You better. Vogue.
Does anyone remember Anthony Scaramucci?
Yeah. Mostly just like as a meme.
Right. So Santos called himself a seasoned Wall Street financier and investor, said he worked for Citigroup and Goldman Sachs, but neither company has any record of him. He claimed that while he was employed at Goldman, he attended the SALT conference and criticized the company for investing in renewable energy, calling it a taxpayer-subsidized scam. Scaramucci, who runs the conference, said there is no record he ever attended. How you got one scam artist telling another one, hey, he was never here?
Yeah, just game recognizes game, you know?
Yeah, he was like, I'm not messing with him. I don't want him to be associated with me.
Man.
In a November 2022 interview, Santos discussed the 2016 Pulse nightclub shooting that took place in Orlando, saying that his company lost 4 employees there. The New York Times found no connection between the 49 victims killed in the attack and any company named in Santos's biography. In a 2022 interview, he changed the story, saying, "We did lose 4 people that were going to be coming to work for the company that I was starting up in Orlando." Which company? It was DeVolder and Associates? Is that the one? Oh my god. During his 2022 campaign, he told prospective donors that he was a producer for the musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. The show's lead producer denied he was ever involved and said the musical...
Is that like the anti-woke Spider-Man one?
No idea. I'm literally reading this and I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
No, it's just a Spider-Man rock musical, I guess.
Okay. I know there was like some alt-right Spider-Man like musical that people were working on or whatever. I did, it looks like it's older than that, so it's not that one.
Oh my god. It's possible Santos confused the two.
Gotta get my culture war brownie points.
Let's see. On at least 3 occasions, Santos claims to have been the victim of a crime that was never reported to the police. He claimed to have been robbed of the money that he was on his way to give his former landlady's attorney in a settlement of her eviction claim against him. Oh god. 5 years later. Oh, go ahead.
It's just like, no, this landlord lady, I'm trying to give you that money. Don't put an eviction on my record. I just got robbed. You know, we live in New York.
I mean, considering how much money he supposedly put into OnlyFans, you'd think he'd know some alternate solutions. But
oh, my god. After his election, he told 2 Brazilian journalists on a podcast. So we could have just got him on this interview. He just does podcasts all the time, apparently.
I know.
So he told them he was mugged in New York City as he walked out of a building at the corner of 5th and 55th. Thieves, he said, made off with his briefcase, watch, and shoes and fled the scene before anyone, even the police, noticed anything. Vanity Fair noted the intersection in question is one of the busiest in the city with high security at its luxury businesses and did not provide a police report of the incident. His description of the assault included a comment that has been characterized as an overtly racist stereotype about black people being likely to commit crimes. Oh my god.
I thought Santos would be above that.
This is where it gets really fun. In October 2023, he told the New York Times that a few months earlier, his niece had vanished from a Queens playground, only to be found 40 minutes later in the company of 2 Chinese men. He claimed to suspect that the incident was retaliation for his opposition to the Chinese Communist Party. My God.
This was maybe my favorite scandal that occurred during his time in office. Like, oh my God.
It's like, okay, Chairman Xi set the shooters just for you. Really, man? Oh my God.
Also, if that happened, why would she found? Why wouldn't she have just been taken? It seems more likely that if this had all happened, she wandered off and two Chinese men found her. It was like, stay here. Don't walk anywhere else. You're going to get kidnapped. If this happened.
Well, get to the next sentence about that.
The newspaper found that while the incident had been reported to police, investigators found no evidence to support the story and suspected it had been invented. Oh my God. I'm going to try to fast forward through some of this, but he claimed to have both knees replaced, had been diagnosed with a brain tumor and received radiation treatment, also claims to suffer from immunodeficiency and acute bronchitis.
That's
pretty serious. I don't think you can just, oh my God. So I think now we can probably, I'm just trying to look at this, see if there's any real things we're going to miss. Okay. We're not, the federal indictment we already mentioned.
Do we get to the indictment?
We can get to the indictment. We got the, let's see, campaign finance.
Oh, actually, that stuff's kind of interesting.
Yeah, let's try to speed through.
Near the end of it.
Yeah, let's see. By 2022, he said he was worth between $2.5 and $11 million, including $1 to $5 million in personal bank accounts. In 2023, noted the form did not disclose his Harbor City salary or the unemployment benefits he received while working for Harbor City and $20,000 he made during stock trades. Let's see. Yeah, in March 2023, it was reported that Santos had brokered the sale of a yacht the previous October around the time of the loans just before the election. He had negotiated the sale of the 141-foot Namaste with cabins for 12 guests and 7 crew, plus a waterfall infinity pool, an outdoor shower for $19 million.
God.
The transaction itself is not illegal, but the timing and participants could suggest an effort to circumvent campaign finance limits or condition his services on receipt of campaign contributions, each of which would be criminal. This is currently still being investigated. And his lawyer said he was not involved in the sale. Oh my God.
Oh. He said, nah, not me. He might have did it, but it not with me. I'm his lawyer for this, not for that.
I'm trying to think what else here is worth mentioning.
Okay, does nothing here's part about his his 2024 campaign. Oh, there it goes. The last paragraph of the thing. Yeah, the campaign nonetheless filed. It's third party. You scroll down. It was the last paragraph of the prior section.
Oh, yeah, the campaign filed its third quarter report in mid-October, reported having refunded $17,000 in contributions while receiving $674 total over the 90 days ending September 30th, a very low sum for a campaign in a swing district where multiple challengers have been raising money a year in advance of the election. Expenditures came to $42,000, leaving them with $23,000 on hand, as well as reporting $120,000 in new debt, which a note from the treasurer indicated appeared to have predated that reporting period.
Yeah, so his campaign went, I believe, had actually like negative campaign contributions by the end because of all like the refunds that people were demanding from it.
So here's where that money went. So he spent prodigiously using campaign funds to pay for shirts for staff from Brooks Brothers, meals at the restaurant, the Bergdorf Goodman department store, and 40,000 in airline fees, including locations in California, Texas, and Florida, and a stay at the Breakers, a historic luxury hotel in Palm Beach, Florida. Part of $30,000 in hotel bills, $14,000 in car services, and an equivalent sum spent at a Queens restaurant. That much airfare, the Times later noted, is far more than most candidates spend on their first election, and closer to the amount spent by party leaders who have served in Congress for several years. Two campaign ads told the Times that staff were increasingly concerned during the campaign that Santos was more interested in spending the $3 million raised for the race than actually winning the election. The indictment in 2023 suggests that at least $11,000 in spending on luxury items was money obtained through credit card fraud and identity theft by Santos allegedly using donors' credit card information without their knowledge or consent, representing himself as them, and diverting those funds to a company he controlled. Uh-oh. It's all adding up, isn't it? In February of 2022, he had spent $1,700 at two Atlantic City casinos, $1,500 at a pet store, and smaller amounts on JetBlue.
Every pet they got! I'm buying out the pets, though. Pets on me.
Various retailers and the Adventureland amusement park in Long Island. A July hotel bill in excess of $3,000 was reported.
Definitely hired a prostitute.
But conflicts with his personal calendar showed he was elsewhere at the time and not doing any campaigning. Charges for a taxi and hotel in Las Vegas were made to the campaign during a time when Santos said he was there for his honeymoon. At the end of November, following his election victory, his campaign wired him $20,000, which also went unrecorded. He spent $6,000 of it at Ferragamo, withdrew $1,000 in cash from a Queens ATM, and later $800 at a casino. Other money was used to pay his rent.
I know that's right.
Santos's campaign finance reports listed a company called Cleaner 123 as receiving $11,000 over 4 months in rent for campaign staff housing in the district. Neighbors of the house said that Santos and his partner appeared to have been living there during that time. So Santos's campaign and PAC reported making a combined $180,000 in contributions to other Republican campaigns. A review by the Times and those of other financial reports found many instances where these reports did not match. So you're just gonna like take everyone down with you too. That's fun. So let's see.
Right, like did he donate to people he liked or donate? Well, some of it didn't exist.
So $2,800, not reported in the Trump campaign's filings and exceeds the cycle limit for contributions from one campaign to the other. The second is to the Town of Oyster Bay Republican Club, a non-existent entity. Texas Representative Beth Van Dyne reported that her campaign had never received its share of a joint financial committee created for a fundraiser with Santos in July of 2022. In a report filed by its treasurer, Nancy Marks, I swear to God, Nancy Marks got to be on the run right now. the joint fundraising committee reported raising about $11,600. Around $2,000 of it was spent on the event at a restaurant in in Garden City, New York. The rest of it was, according to the report, divided evenly between the two, receiving about $5,000 each. A spokesman for the Van Dyne campaign said that the money was never disbursed to them and it will not hold further fundraisers with Santos through it. Santos's campaign had no comments. And a campaign finance lawyer speculated that the failure to share the money might indicate that they were using the joint finance committee to evade contribution limits. It's all adding up. It's really all adding up. Let's see. We also got the unitemized expenses. Let's see if we can fast forward through some of this. He spent more than $5,000 on flights to and hotel stays in Washington and West Palm Beach. Expenses for those trips had reached $90,000 and become more lavish, with hundreds of dollars spent on transport, hotels, and food around the country. This is getting local. In early 2022, they filed amended reports. A $60 meal at a Michigan sushi restaurant was now reported as having cost about $200, along with additional expenses of that exact amount on that date. Where else are we going? This is getting granular now. We're getting into accounting turf. Yeah, so this number 199 keeps coming up. 1 cent below the $200 threshold at which campaigns are legally required to provide receipts and disclose receipts.
My guy, put 196, put 170, 273, put like 150 sometimes, put 100, do a little razzle dazzle, but this $199.99 for all of them, it's really calling yourself out.
An expert at the campaign... Well, hang on. Let's see. So by the end of the campaign, the total unitemized expenditures had exceeded $365,000, 12% of his total expenses, and six times of that of any member of Congress from New York. Since regulations require that campaigns itemize all transactions with a particular vendor once the amount exceeds $200... they suspected that he would have had to have done business with at least over 1,800 separate concerns for all the unitemized transactions to be lawfully reported as such. His campaign lists 270 only. An expert at the Campaign Legal Center said that the campaign's reporting was so ludicrous that it's completely wrong, and suggested the campaign was covering up actual expenses. During an interview, Santos himself said recurrences of $199.99 could have been clerical errors that could be rectified if there is any discrepancy. Oh my God.
It's like, no, that can't be, that literally can't be a clerical error. That is intentional, 100%.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's no way, if anything is ever just 1 cent, $1, like this very whatever amount that it's supposed to be before it gets calculated or flagged or anything. And then if that's happening multiple times, first of all, that's when you should start flagging things.
It gets but, interesting. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's just like, there is no way, unless you are going to the exact same restaurant or going to these exact same services, getting the exact same thing, and that they're always $199.99, but everything can't be that. It can't be always every restaurant, every this, every that, all of it is on. And then how many people are at this sushi restaurant in Michigan that you are spending $200? Because, girl, you getting scammed. We don't got that good sushi.
This guy does not do a great job at covering up his trail at all.
Not at all, and it gets fun because, like, there's multiple fake treasurers in the mix as well. I'm just going to try to fast forward this where it's, like, apparently... there were reports that there was this guy, Thomas Dattweiler, who had also worked as the treasurer for Josh Mandel's campaign seat against J.D. Vance, was replaced. Dattweiler said he had nothing to do with them and declined the job. And there's this character named Andrew Olson, who, as it turns out, may be a front that Thomas Dattweiler uses through the Detroit law firm Dickinson Wrights. Where prominent Republican lawyer Charles Spees is a partner for legal and political consulting that had remained relatively small, stopped being reported, although Spees seems to have continued working for Santos. His replacement reported paying $20,000 of $90,000 owed to Dickinson, a debt he had learned of since taking the job that had not apparently been previously reported. Jesus. In a filing, so yeah, in late May 2023, Santos lists that he files himself as treasurer, and it's legal, but candidates will rarely do it. In a filing a day later, he announced that he hired Jason D. Bowles, previously a campaign treasurer for Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh boy.
I just, there's also allegations of use of fictitious donors and fictitious donations, which came up as part of the investigation into the $365,000. I'm just trying to see if I can decode this. And this is all through like the WinRed tool, which is like their fundraising like online tool or whatever. And this is also, this also ties into the alleged credit card fraud and the misuse of this fundraising tool. Oh boy. Okay, so then here comes the Redstone Strategy bits. So Redstone Strategies was formed in November 2021 following complaints from the Fort campaign about Red Strategies. Santos represented himself as its managing partner, another fake company, in signing one contract with another vendor, and used a Redstone email address in his capital introduction work. During 2022, Redstone paid Santos at least $200,000. An October payment of $50,000 was used by Santos over the next month to spend $4,000 at Hermes, pay for some OnlyFans subscriptions, and pay his rent and credit card debts.
Do you think his husband knew?
I don't even know if the husband is real.
That's true. Have we ever seen the husband?
We have seen him. Granted,
is he a real person?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously,
he might be a robot.
Yeah. I guess, and this was something that came up before, but there was that his whole thing about like being like, he did have a wife for like a decent chunk of time, which obviously, you know, like being gay doesn't necessarily preclude that possibility. But I know that was like a whole thing that he had covered up as well.
He's not a gold star.
This is the alleged husband,
who looks like he could be his son.
He does. He looks like a baby.
I mean, it's giving Cam and Mitchell from Modern Family, but at the same time,
no, it's
like,
not. It's
yeah,
giving,
yeah. It's,
it's giving. I just stole a twink off of a college campus and convinced him that I will make him college debt free after he runs this scam with me.
Do you see Kevin McCarthy in the back?
Yes.
God.
Okay, what? So I mean he's there. He's
weird,
he's
looking dudes.
But he's clearly been there for a while because
really? Oh man.
Yeah, he's there with Giuliani who's now pleading bankruptcy.
Yeah, because people said that he had hard launched his husband when I think it was when Dianne Feinstein died. He said, "Oh, my husband and I are, you know, feel bad for the family or whatever." And that was like the first mention of him, and then he just started like showing up at a couple like, you know, events. Oh, they went
okay,
to Jurassic
so the husband
Park.
Is... That's probably part of those unitemized expenditures. Who knew?
Oh, right. That has to be.
Oh, my gosh. I think we might have missed at least a couple scams, too.
The Italian restaurant scam. We missed
We got the Italian restaurant scam. We got the Brazilian check frauds. Yeah, in January 2023, Rio de Janeiro prosecutors announced that they would revive the fraud charges because they knew where George Santos was, and then announced a plea bargain with Santos. And then Santos in May says he formally settled the bad check charges, agreeing to pay about $5,000.
So he had to pull up another scam so he can pay for that scam.
We got,
and then he gonna get another scam to pay for a different scam.
Then we also got all his evictions and unpaid judgments. you have the Friends of Pets United, where he claims to have rescued over 2,500 animals as the founder and operator of a charity called...
forgot about this.
See, he has so many controversies, and literally you know about them all, but each time something more crazy or ridiculous happens, and you're just like... No, there's no way that other crazy, ridiculous thing was Santos. That had to be some other random, like, freshman Republican somewhere, right? It's so, not all Santos, right?
Well, so apparently...
Like, it pretty much all was, and, like, it's just that, like, there were so many of these that it's like, oh, yeah, that was, like, this irrelevant scandal that happened 1 week. And then it's like, no, like, this guy had, like, a million scandals occurring every day, it felt like.
It's like, it's very Republican to have a scandal. It's very, like, new Republican to have multiple scandals going on at the same time. It is George Santos to have scandal after scandal, scandal within scandal, scandal that created another scandal. Like, it's so, it's literally, he is... unique in so many ways. Like, we thought that Trump was like the most like out there Republican like since Reagan, but like, no, it's George Santos. He has the balls and the ability to do the crazy things that everybody else did not. And well, I and think it's also because he doesn't have the money, the family money to back him up, so he gets
some of it.
No, he has no family money. He has no family money. He keeps lying about that. He keeps lying to different people and telling them that different people in his family have money. His father literally abandoned them. And also, didn't he die early? Or is he just like...
Well, for a while, too, he was lying about not having any family money. As well, that he like grew up in poverty, and we're like, your mom was like, you know, a white collar worker and whatnot. Like, that's not true, but like,
exactly.
It's just like there's all these contradictions. I think that the bigger thing though is not only is he the guy like willing to do all this, so much of it is for like the most irrelevant, petty reasons imaginable, right? Like who needs to like, you know, defraud their campaign to pay for OnlyFans?
Right.
Or like other stuff like that. It's just like, this is like crazy that like, because it's like, at least the Trump stuff, it's like, okay, well, like there's a very obvious angle, right? It's like, oh, like we're, you know, overinflating the value of like the Trump organization, their assets, to, you know, get better, you know, business dealings or whatever. We're, you know, trying to protect ourselves from legal prosecution, all that. Santos is just like, legal prosecution, never heard of it. Let's just commit crimes.
Literally. He's like, how many crimes can I commit in the shortest amount of time? Like, I feel like there's a record, and he's like, I not only have to beat it, I'm not going to beat it by one. There's not going to be, like, any Price is Right rules. I'm going to beat it so that someone will have to be three times the amount of corrupt that I am to be able to beat my record.
And even some stuff that's, like, technically not even illegal, but just, like, you know, immoral. And he's just like, yeah, let's just do that. You know, everyone needs a hobby.
Yeah, like, why can't boys just lie about everything? Like, they should be able to just lie about everything.
Except for the one thing that everyone else in this position has been forced to lie about for years.
Being?
Well, being gay.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. He literally, he's like, that's the one truth I have. No other truth.
I think even in, this had kind of gone viral, like, during his, expulsion vote, Matt Gaetz had spoken, like, in defense of, like, keeping him around, but said, like, you know, George Santos, if that's even his real name. So, like, even the people coming to defend him are like, yeah, like, you know, it's like, we just have to keep him in that seat. Like, there's no value that we actually see with long term, but we want to maintain a majority, so.
What was that interview where he got on Z-Way's horrible show and she was like, can you please disappear? And he literally, this is like the most like mask off like statement from George Santos I ever saw. He looks the interviewer.
No. She said, when will you go away?
Yeah.
And he said, when you guys stop inviting me. And it was a mic drop moment. And like, literally, I was kind of like, you know, not taking him seriously again because he was doing cameos like the day that he got expelled. And it was dang, mama needs some money. But to be fair, he said
he's made more money from that than he made in his congressional salary, which, I mean, you've heard the whole salary.
Well, duh, but like, no, don't tell me if you made that like more than your congressional salary. Tell me if you made that more than your scamming. That's what I want to know. Let me know where the cameo money really at. But
I do have to ask, speaking of the cameo, though, did you bite the bullet?
No, it was like, well, I mean, let's go look up the price right now. Let's look up the price right
literally,
now.
Literally, I was like, if
over
you...
over $100?
Yeah, I feel okay, like it was like 200 something.
Okay, message... Wait,
did he up his rates?
Okay, so $20. $20 just to message him. $20 just to send a message.
Damn.
Book a personal video for $500.
Dude, that's gone up. His rates have skyrocketed.
They really have.
I mean, I hear inflation's a thing, but damn.
He got on Z-Wave, like, especially, like, and he read her to filth just being like, you guys are the ones who are asking me to be here. You guys keep talking about me like we are right now. You keep bringing me up, so I'm gonna keep being brought up, and that literally, like, respect to him. And honestly, if he did up his prices from like when that first came out, he is just being the smartest businessman that he has ever been. Like, this is him. This is him actually having a small business that he's not defrauding anyone. It's the first time he's doing honest work.
It's kind of crazy that there's like that many people that were actually like willing to pay for it, though. Like, because it's like, it's the kind of thing that I feel like you'd only really want as a joke, but it's like far too expensive for most people to afford as a joke.
Exactly.
I think it was very perfect that it like is during Christmas time. So like now.
Right. If you have any last minute gifts that you need.
Yes. And just send it like, hey, yeah, I'm just going to have George Santos say something to this dude because I don't know what to give him.
Right. I mean, they did expel him around Christmas time, so maybe it was all a part of a grand conspiracy.
Right. He was just trying to hold on until...
Yeah, like, guys, I've got, like, my best scheme yet. And it's totally legal.
I wouldn't be surprised if he does something like on Christmas and gets everyone to start talking about him.
He'll do something like that that Kevin Spacey video he did years ago.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Does everyone remember that one?
No, I remember it. And like, it was the target of many conspiracy theories, right? Because it's like, he's talking to somebody who's not the audience, and then he like explicitly,
well, because
like,
he's looked, like doing it like half in character as
as Frank Underwood. So he's doing it half in character as Frank Underwood, but then like he always pulls up like this like British flag mug that I think is from like the Queen's inauguration. So it's theorized, I think somewhat believably, that like it was a message to Prince Andrew. And it was happening, like, I think concurrent with, like, a Jeffrey Epstein trial or something. Because, like, he gets, like, this is probably, like, pretty shortly after, or probably near, or, like, when he gets, like, very credibly accused and maligned for his own like sexual misconduct. So I think that was him winking at Prince Andrew. And a lot of people like went back to that video in the wake of like some of the earlier Jeffrey Epstein revelations. So it's like, who knows? Who fucking knows with this guy? That being said, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like with Santos, and I'm not gonna go into any of the schemes further. I think we covered most of it. Most of this has been reported on, right? But I always try to tie everything together into something cohesive if I do anything, right? And it's like, to what end can you look at this like scammer who makes their way into Congress, right? And what it reveals isn't that like he's a one-time error of the system. He's somebody who can expose the systemic rot and the decay that's undergirding the system at the present, which is a claim people have made about Trump, you know, I think somewhat credibly, that Trump isn't a symptom of the problem. Trump is the problem embodied. And for him to have made it that far as a function of his ill-gotten gains and his fraudulent record of financial transactions on his side, right? Like Trump isn't really a billionaire. He's a guy with a lot of credit, if you really look at it that way, right? Mm-hmm. But he has this upheld societal view, at least among his supporters, that he's this legitimate businessman in some way. And I think like that opens up the path for other self-styled, you know, men of fortune, quote unquote, to come in and seek the levers of power in a way, right? I think we've commented on this show a lot about how American culture has been in recent years quite materialistic, how we have certain materialistic views on success and human fulfillment, and broadly speaking, that, you know, that is part of the political project of the right writ large, is this capitalist consumerist worldview that doesn't care about who gets hurt in the process. And for George Santos to have come up in the way that he did, it exposes not only, you know, failures in our legislative institutions to adequately assess the characters of people that come into it, because, as mentioned in this episode, Jim Jordan's still in Congress. Steve Scalise is still in Congress. Several people with shady... Matt Gaetz is still in Congress, right? So several people with shady histories always make it into this institution. But even in Santos's career, hustling in the financial services space, running scams within scams, it kind of goes to show that these levers of wealth creation and financial control that we like to tell ourselves are well-regulated or well-managed are in fact the Wild West and are in fact kept as such. And if you think Santos is scary in the microcosm, think about what we allow corporations to get away with every fucking day. So Santos is, you know, in as much as he's a funny, if not somewhat scary, microcosm of our system to observe, the reality of a microcosm is it cannot exist without the world that created it. How many George Santoses walk among us every day? I don't think we think about that. And I'm not saying that in a, oh, be afraid, you live among sociopaths kind of way. But what I'm trying to say is like...
But be afraid, you live
among sociopaths. Be afraid. These people are walking around.
But that's
your neighbor. Michigan. He could be...
He was everywhere in the 50 states, as far as I could tell. Like, this guy's been everywhere. So it's like, you know, a scammer...
One scandal per state.
Like, that's the thing, is like, we think that, you know, he got exposed and expelled and, you know, justice has been served. I don't necessarily believe that. I think we live in a society that rewards unscrupulous behavior and unprincipled behavior, and that we, in fact, value that socially to some extent. How do we combat that on a micro level in our personal lives? I don't have the best prescription for that, but I do see like Santos as like somewhat of an instructive space of observation for that, right? Where it's like, this is not anything particularly new or anything errant. I think that, like I said, maybe earlier this year, a guy like Santos entering Congress is the natural conclusion of everything we've seen in at least the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I didn't have to be so dour, but that's my read of this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe to be slightly more charitable, he's also maybe like a demonstration that, like, sometimes, like, you know, we even our bare minimum laws and restrictions against these people, sometimes they actually do work and find someone who's particularly corrupt, right? Like, I mean, we still have campaign finance laws, they're woefully insufficient, but hey, it's a key part to how he was caught here. And that's, you know, maybe something a little bit more on the optimistic side. That's kind of uncharacteristic of me on this show, but there is that.
It's good. It's good that you bring that up. And the thing is like, that's why there is a rising tide to deregulate campaign finance. There is a rising tide to deregulate and, you know, remove the teeth of the FEC in what little capacities they exist. You know, campaign fraud is not just symptomatic of George Santos. It's pretty prevalent. And if you look at the kind of culture legally that's been created since, like, Citizens United and McCutcheon versus FEC, the donor class of the Republican Party has a vested interest in making sure that large amounts of money remain free-flowing to enact all manner of regressive and just bass backwards policy across the country in all manners of elections. So
for sure,
it's something that as much as like I am somewhat jaded about electoral politics, I do have like a I do have a soft spot for like campaign finance law. And I think like my initial entry into all this as a money out of politics guy probably will be the last facet of me to die in some aspect. That's probably my most lib-coded belief, if anything.
I just can't believe that they're allowed to get away with this much. Like, what do you mean? It's crazy that what do you mean if it's under $200, they just don't have to talk about it? Like, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't, like, my job, it's like, if something is over $5, I need a receipt. Like, what do you mean $200?
Yeah, I think some of it is... I mean, I don't necessarily remember all of the ins and outs of it at the moment, but I mean, some of it is like kind of like if you're like, you know, giving your like staffers like, you know, some pizzas or whatever, you know, after canvassing or whatnot. Like, I think there's some stuff like that that's not as big of a deal. I mean, there's some stuff when it comes to reporting your like your contributions. Like, you have to pay a certain threshold to report your contributions. Or if you have certain types of employment, you have to report your contributions as well. Like if you're a government job, I think you should have to report if you even like donated like a dollar to someone's campaign. So there's elements like that. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of holes with it. I mean, I get that like the kind of like, I mean, there's a lot of campaigns to sort of, you know, kind of tie everything down into like, you know, the bureaucracy and whatnot, but you know, I think there's bigger picture things that really do have to get reformed in terms of just keeping money out of politics more broadly.
Speaking of bigger pictures, a movie on Santos's life is in development by Frank Rich, who was the producer of Veep and I think Succession for HBO Films.
Oh my god.
I also saw asking? Something. I don't know if it was that's the same guy, but it was like the guy who created Fyre Festival, like one of the movies was looking to do a documentary as well. And I'm like, gosh. Oh yes. If someone's like, I will watch almost any documentary about someone scamming because it is almost always white people. And it's like, how do they, I mean, I know how, but like, it's just like, y'all really were just allowing them to do this. And if a person of color would have breathed over here, you would have been like, red alert, red alert. But you allowed all of this money to be stolen and all these people to be defrauded and like corporations. Well,
in the 90s, there was a few black politicians that in Congress, at least, probably elsewhere as well, who were kind of like caught up in stuff. Mostly it was like, you know, kind of like they like abused their franking privileges and stuff like that. Stuff that seemed like really minor, but there was like definitely especially once Gingrich ascended to the speakership, there was like a real witch hunt that just got rid of a lot of those people. So you are kind of right, you know, that they do sort of raise that fire alarm immediately over like comparatively minor transgressions committed by people of color.
But don't worry, if your skin is white enough, you can get away with murder.
I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if Santos is Brazilian at this point. I really don't know what to make of this anymore. You know, a lot of people have talked about the breakdown of consensus reality. I have no consensus on the reality anymore. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Just internally, you have no consensus on reality.
Just internally, all the voices in my head can't agree. That was a joke. I'm sorry. Oh my gosh. Is there anything else we can say to maybe like make sense of this or maybe close this out? Because I think we have been at this for about 2.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. I think that we've kind of covered, I mean, most of it, right? I mean, it's a guy who's maybe, you know, slightly, you know, above, you know, kind of above par for levels of corruption. I think it's, in his case, it's, you know, it's maybe just like the nakedness of it and just kind of the, kind of just the sheer stupidity of it in a lot of ways too. It's petty, it's minor, but and some stuff is less minor than others, but it does sort of, you know, expose the rot within the system, I think, beyond just him, as you've said. Mm-hmm. And I think it's done maybe some real institutional damage to what little trust people had in Congress to begin with. But I think it's kind of, you know, that and a few other factors, especially this congressional session, I think have really kind of changed the way people look at Congress in terms of being a very unserious institution.
For real. I think that's a good way to put that.
Yeah, that's truly what I got from this. Is just like, so you're telling me you can basically get away with anything, because you think about the other people who have gotten away with almost anything in Congress, and you're like, you can get away with enough if you have like rich parents, if you don't piss off certain people,
if you're in the right party.
If you're in the right party, like, it's, there's such a,
yeah,
like, you can do it. Don't worry. You just need to be the right person.
You just need to believe in yourself.
Right. Just believe. And I think one thing that we can really commend George Santos on is he believes in himself. And maybe we should all believe in ourselves just a little bit more.
Or at least some version of ourselves, right?
At least some version. Just a little bit more, and maybe you will achieve something. I won't say greatness. You'll achieve something. Just mediocrity. Like George Santos. Yeah.
Gosh.
But it's very exciting to see what he's getting into, because, like, again, his congressional term was only a year. He literally did not last one full year. So let's see what he's doing. And didn't McCarthy said that he was dropping out, or like,
yep,
he...
Yep, McCarthy, as you know, that's kind of another thing about like the pettiness of Congress right now. He's dropping at the end of this year. So that so, puts like, their majority within like one vote. So like someone could just, you know, have a heart attack and all of a sudden.
Oh no.
Bye-bye.
Not Mitch McConnell.
Well, that wouldn't do
anything.
That's
the Senate, but yeah.
I know. I just wanted to wish him ill.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Oh my gosh.
But now you have to expand that ill wish list a little further.
Yes. Just bearing in mind,
the ill wishes are non-actionable. They are for satire and educational purposes only.
I can give people bad vibes.
Vibes-based curses.
Like, nobody can stop me Death from doing evil vibes. Eye on Haley Stevens for all of the stuff she's been saying about Israel. Like, no one can stop me.
That's your isn't it?
Yeah. Like, you can put me in jail, but you can't stop me from hating. I'll be dead, and my ghost will be hating on y'all.
I'm gonna have fun editing.
Is that a paraphrase directly from George Santos's autobiography?
Only one way to find out.
It's coming up. I definitely, like, we were talking about doing 2024 predictions and actually like making a bingo card, because like we keep saying none of this is on my bingo card. Like, let's make the bingo card. Let's see if you get a bingo and how fast it'll take.
But then you might not be able to say this wasn't on my bingo card anymore.
Right. Then I'll be proudly to be like, it was on my bingo card. I have the proof that I did this at the beginning of the year.
You know who else played bingo? George Santos and his mom.
George Santos.
That's true.
Again, I don't think that they were playing bingo. I think they was running bingo.
Oh, for sure. I think they were definitely doing bookie stuff, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I think they was head. Like, it wasn't given, oh, they're playing bingo. Everybody plays bingo. Why is that important? It's because they was in something else. For sure.
I think that's the perfect note to end this on.
Yeah, I think we've really run the gamut on this. With all of this being said, thank you, Josh. Thank you, Sky. Thank you to our listeners for sitting through this. I'm going to release this as two parts. The editing is going to be interesting for this. But is there
that's
anything...
all you,
but that's how it is every time. It's like, yep. I came on. It's all you to edit this, buddy. It's all you. Is there anything either of you would like to plug?
I think we know who's the reason why most of the editing has to happen too.
That's why I'm okay doing what I do. I would like to plug, be a good person, have integrity, be kind to people, unless you're George Santos. Then continue to be the messy bitch you are. It's entertaining. Maybe get out of politics and get into a lower stakes messiness.
I don't think he has much
of a choice. I think you can go far. Yeah, honestly, I don't think anyone's gonna bring you back. But hey, if Trump can do it, maybe you can too. Believe in yourself. I know you're listening.
Josh, anything you want to plug?
You know, just the exact same thing, to be honest. You know, I think that was good. I can't top that.
I had a joke about tops and then I forgot it. Oh my God.
What do we think George is?
I think George is a bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you saw how what his husband looks like.
Yeah, that's the only thing is I was like, that's my hesitation. It's like, well,
I get that, but like, I don't know. Just again with George's various alleged bottom. Elements.
There we go.
Yeah, I think he might be a power bottom.
Him and TD Jakes power bottoms.
Oh my god, that's a whole host of revelations too. Yeah,
we don't have to go into it. It's too much.
I'm gonna cut. I'll cut this out. But Josh, just for your information, mega church pastor TD Jakes, as part of the investigation into Puff Daddy's various crimes, was alleged to have been a power bottom at sex parties hosted by P. Diddy. Yeah.
Like, and if you didn't know,
he's built like associate.
He is. they're built very similar. Him and his associates have some stake in the Shade Room, like the publication, heavy quotes, the black publication. So like, they're not talking about it.
This but, picture like,
all of Black Twitter is talking about it. Like, why would you take a picture like that?
That's what sells me that like this is there's we have the smoking gun.
There's also a video of like a police officer dancing in front of him, and he aggressively has his hand in the pocket the entire time, and I'm just like,
oh,
looking good, buddy.
Oh my gosh! All right, I'm gonna wrap this up. So, thanks again for tuning into this episode, dear listeners. As always, we'll have links in the show notes below. Until next time. Take care. Happy holidays.